everyone. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom and our outdoors article for this summer month of July. And my name is Linda. I'm happy to be with you today. And I have two people who also enjoy the outdoors, probably more than I do.
Well, I'm Pauline, and I like the outdoors more than a lot of people do. I just love being outside, so I'm excited for this article.
And I am Zach, and I like the outdoors, but I think more than Linda, I don't know, that remains to be seen. We'll see.
Yeah, I do like the outdoors on a limited basis. Not as much as Pauline, but I do enjoy them. And, you know, summertime is when a lot of us are outside, spend a lot of time outside, and we also are in different situations and different parts of the world because many people are traveling. And there are some things you need to pay attention to when you change your environment, because you might be used to something in your own country or your own area, and when you go to another part of the world, it's totally different. And we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. Some, like, travel cautionary safety tips as well.
I think this is a really important thing to talk about. My husband and I used to live in Costa Rica and help at a bed and breakfast, and we'd often talk about the vacation mindset people would be in, where you kind of have this feeling that nothing can go wrong because you're on vacation. And so suddenly even your basic safety awareness seems to kind of be lost just because people are just only focused on having fun. But of course, that's not safe, and it is important to think about going to a different place, a different environment, how to be extra safe.
Right. I think also sometimes when we travel, we think, oh, this is a tourist destination, so everything's here safe.
Hmm.
That's, well, especially when you're dealing with the outdoors, that is not necessarily true.
No, it's not. In fact, this article is talking about we are trying to play it safe, and that's just in order to enjoy nature, but you got to play it safe, which just means don't take any unnecessary risks, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, let's start our article. There's a lot to talk about today. So we are on page 24 in your magazine. If you have it with you, maybe you would like to open to that page, and you can follow us along or find it on your digital device. And we are going to begin reading in the left-hand column at the top of page 24.
Enjoy nature safely. Learn how to prevent the natural elements from wrecking your summer fun. Play it safe in the great outdoors. Knowledge is power. So before you and the family head for the great outdoors, tune up your skills and know how to play it safe. 1. Do the stingray shuffle. Stingrays bury themselves under a thin blanket of sand for protection. By shuffling into the water, you'll create a vibration, and the creature will be alerted and will move off in a different direction. Should a sting occur, use hot water to clean the wound and seek medical attention.
So this really is specifically designed to talk about nature, our outdoors, and learn how to prevent natural elements from wrecking your summer fun. We were just talking about how, you know, sometimes when we go on vacation, especially in nature, we think nothing will go wrong or everything should be okay because it's a tourist destination and I don't need to be careful about anything, but that is not true.
No.
Okay. So as we started out before, Zach said, play it safe in the great outdoors. Play it safe again is to not take risks or to be careful. What about the great outdoors? This is a phrase we hear in the States a lot, especially where you're from, in Montana.
That's right. I'm from Montana, and there's lots of slogans about going out into the great outdoors because we're really proud of the mountains and the nature hiking.
And that's what it refers to, right?
Yes.
The mountain area, the bigness.
Mm-hmm. Although I think it's come to describe any area of nature. But, yeah, the great outdoors, initially your first image you get in your head usually is like mountains.
Right, and sky, mm-hmm. and yeah.
Well, when I think of the great outdoors, though, immediately I'm thinking you don't want to put your guard down, so to speak. You need to go in, you know, you want to enjoy, right? You want to enjoy nature, but this key word in our title, safely, you want to keep your guard up and you want to ask the right questions and just take the right preventative measures to enjoy.
You're a cautious person, aren't you?
Yes, it's true.
And
well,
I think for me it
stems from a place of you want to get the most out of this thing, and so it doesn't do you any good to have, you know, made that fatal mistake.
Right. You need to use common sense.
Definitely.
And I think it's important just to know which way you tend to err, right? If you're the kind of person who errs on the side of being really cautious and anxious, then yeah, maybe you need to focus on being able to relax and enjoy a little more. And certainly this is not an article about being afraid. It's about it's about knowledge is power. If you know what to expect and you prepare well, hopefully you can just relax and enjoy once you're there, knowing you're doing the things to keep yourself as safe as possible. But if you're one of those people who errs on the side of not thinking about, you know, safety at all, then this is definitely a good article for you, because also there is a point where that can become dangerous, and obviously it's not going to be fun if you end up hurt. So.
Right. Well, I'm with you. When I'm in the great outdoors, I do tend to be a touch more cautious than I am at other times. And I think that this first sentence it says here is knowledge is power. So that's what we really want to talk about today, is some of the things that you need to pay special attention to when you are going to an area that you're maybe not familiar with. So let's take a look. It says tune up your skills. That's a good phrase, to tune up. Usually we use that phrase when we're talking about our car.
Mm-hmm.
I think my car, and also this can be a noun. My car needs a tune up, or I need to get my car tuned up. What does that mean?
Well, here it says, you know, knowledge is power, so it's referring to, you know, you need to do your research and tune up your skills. So just fine-tune or take the necessary precautions before you set out to the great outdoors.
Okay, so find out what you're going to be dealing with.
Exactly.
Well, I like this first one. It says, do the stingray shuffle.
Yeah, it sounds like a dance
move. Are we dancing?
Right?
Yeah.
Kind of. But first of all, a stingray, that's one of our specialized terms. I know that most of us know what that is. So it's that long, flat fish, and it has a whip-like tail. The description here, with a large barbed poisonous spine.
And you can see a picture of it on the top of page 24 if you have your magazine open.
Right. And I think maybe people might be a little leery of stingrays, especially because of Steve Irwin, you know, very famous naturalist, and was killed by one. But it was all a freak accident.
Yeah, we were talking about this before the show, that stingrays really became infamous for having, you know, killed Steve Irwin. But the reality is these are generally a very docile, a very safe creature. They're not aggressive. They're not going to try to harm anyone. And usually when there is a sting, it's not lethal by any means. So it's not something to be super scared of. I think stingrays are still something you can really enjoy seeing and being excited about in the ocean. You shouldn't be afraid. But again, it's that balance, right? Don't be terrified and don't, you know, so much that you can't enjoy it, but also don't be so oblivious to the potential dangers that you put yourself in more harm's way than need be.
Right. And here, I mean, you know, they're all over Southeast Asia. So if you're going to go to a beach, I think that this is a very good tip that they're giving us. They bury themselves under a thin blanket of sand for protection. So, you know, there's sand under the water. So when you walk out into it, you might want to shuffle. And shuffle just means like move your feet around a little bit so that they can feel the vibration.
Right. And when you shuffle, you don't really pick your feet up. You're
right.
Just moving your feet, you know, forward, but keeping them basically on the ground.
So this creates a vibration in the sand and in the water, and then the stingray will move away from you and actually enable you to be able to see it as well.
Yeah, and actually I was reading a little bit about this before, and they say most of the injuries that happen related to stingrays come from somebody stepping on one as they're walking into the beach. So this is really a very practical solution.
It's a practical tip, and I think it's a win-win because you stay safe. And if you do it correctly, I think you'll be able to see it and still
move
enjoy
away from you, hopefully.
But also
too.
Get to see one.
Yes,
I love seeing that.
Yes.
So yeah, it is really a win-win. Well, just in case though, of course, no matter how safe you are, freak accidents can occur, as we know with Steve Irwin and others. So if a freak accident does occur, if you get stung, again, this isn't something to be terrified about. You're not going to die. The sting, they say, is quite painful. But they give you some good tips here, too. It says, should a sting occur, so if a sting occurs, then use hot water to clean the wound. And I read that hot water actually breaks down the venom. So it doesn't just make the pain go away. It actually helps stop that venom from working and causing any damage.
Probably, you know, removes it from being as strong as it would be, so, or keeps it from being as strong as it would be, so, yeah.
So, yeah, it's a great first step. Of course, then you should seek medical attention.
Yeah, and you really want to emphasize this point here, seeking medical attention. I think it's important, we were talking about it earlier, you know, wherever an accident may occur, the local, you know, people on hand, like whether it's a lifeguard or it's a doctor's office, they should have these kinds of solutions at hand in order to address whatever, you know, the issue might be, whether it's a stingray or a jellyfish. It really is important to seek local medical attention.
Right. And just one more note on the worst case scenario side of things. If somebody were to get stung that you know that actually the barb is still in them, don't pull it out. I can't emphasize this enough. Do not do that. It will cause so much damage. That is definitely something that a medical expert should be dealing with, not you.
And actually, that also applies. I know we're talking about stingray, but, you know, as we're just discussing the article of Nature in general, jellyfish, some people will say you want to scrape off the, you know, where it's stung you, but actually don't. I think that's really dangerous, and I would really recommend just seek medical attention. Go to the hospital. They'll know what to do.
Well, let's move on. We have four more points that we want to talk about, and we're going to continue our reading now in the left-hand column on page 24. We're going to read parts 2 and 3.
Two, snake smarts. Hiking, climbing, and camping in many areas mean a snake encounter is possible. According to the University of Arizona Poison and Drug Information Center, more than half of those bitten intentionally provoke the snake in some way. Make sure kids don't deliberately disturb the creature should you come across one. Stay on hiking trails and keep hands and feet away from wood and rock piles, deep grass or crevices. Carry a flashlight and wear shoes after dark. 3. Be bear aware. Your goal during a hiking, fishing, or camping experience is to avoid crossing paths with a bear. Inquire about recent bear activity in your intended destination. Travel in groups of 3 or more and sing, tell stories, or carry a bell to let bears know you are in the area. Hike during daylight hours. Stay on trails and avoid berry patches. When camping, be sure to hang food and trash away from sleeping areas.
Well, one of the things that we often may come across, and many different kinds of them, are snakes when we're hiking. And you should use your smarts when you are dealing with snakes. And smarts here is just a plural noun that means what?
Yeah, just referring to intelligence. And here they're using, I think, you know, alliteration, these two S's, snake smarts. And actually, they're going to use this throughout the article in a few different places. We've already seen one, stingray shuffle. And so, yeah, it's just something to be on the lookout for.
Well, snake smarts is a good thing to have when you're out hiking. It says hiking, climbing, and camping in many areas mean a possible snake encounter. So a snake encounter doesn't necessarily mean that it's touching you or biting you, but a snake encounter would just be anytime you see one, you're anywhere near one, you've encountered a snake.
Right. And snakes are shy by nature, so they don't usually strike you unless you are come upon them and startle them or maybe step on them. You know, they are defending themselves. And I think the other thing, we want to go back to the stingray shuffle part here. What Zach said is seek local attention because snakes differ around the world, and the venom differs around the world, and the anti-venom also differs around the world. So the area that I'm from in the United States has a lot of rattlesnakes. So you don't want to, you know, come back to Asia to get, well, you would die before you got here anyway, but you don't want to come back to another part of the world to get treated for that.
Right. Definitely. I really like this fact that we get from the University of Arizona Poison and Drug Information Center. They said that more than half of those bitten intentionally provoke the snake in some way. So this is really interesting. We're not even talking about somebody who accidentally provokes a snake by stepping on it or, you know, doing something without even realizing. We're talking about people who on purpose interact with the snake in a way that provokes it, that makes it angry, that makes it feel scared, which I know it sounds crazy, but over half, that's a lot of people doing that and then suffering some pretty intense consequences.
Why would people do that?
Well, so this is really telling just about, you know, what's involved with snakes. So these are, like Linda said, shy creatures that, you know, are not, only until they feel threatened will they start to narrow in on, you know.
Usually,
right. Usually. So, yeah, just got to use your smarts.
Well, and they do give you the very next line kind of gave me the, like, ah, of course. And we were talking about who would do this.
Kids.
Like, what? None of us would, but kids. Yes, of course, kids. Whether that's teenagers who are trying to prove something or still feel like they're invincible, or little kids who just don't understand the world and they just think it's another animal like their pet dog or cat, you know? So it is really important if you're traveling with children or teenagers to really emphasize to them, again, while this is a really fun trip, we also need to learn how to be safe and how to respect the animals. For one, just because that is, we want to be honoring of nature and the other animals, but also because they could, even an animal that looks harmless can hurt you, especially even if you think you're trying to be nice to them, you're just trying to pet them, they don't know that, they could hurt you.
And I think that the next paragraph gives very, very good advice. It says, when you're hiking, no matter where you are, if you're in a jungle, if you're in a forest, if you're on a mountain, stay on hiking trails and keep hands and feet away from wood and rock piles. So if you see a pile of rocks or a pile of wood, you don't want to really go around them, because snakes are often inside of those keeping cool or coming out to get warm. It's very easy to disturb them. And stay away from deep grass or crevices, okay? And a crevice is one of our specialized terms. Well, actually, it's a more information term. It means a narrow opening, especially in the surface of a rock, that it's often wide enough maybe that a small foot could step into it.
Right, or your hand could go in, right?
Right?
But that is exactly what you should not be doing.
Right.
Again, hopefully, this is just emphasizing some knowledge that you probably already have, but maybe you haven't thought about, you know, telling your kids about that yet, because it's common knowledge to you, but at some point kids have to learn that, right?
Exactly. And, you know, our article starts out saying, you know, before you and the family head for the great outdoors. And I think that's a great point, because, okay, so as a new father, it's like, you know, I would often take a lot of this for granted. Okay, I've had the experiences to say, don't do this, but this is okay. But you have to pass those along to kids before you head out there, just to give them a sense. You don't want to take their imagination for granted or whatever.
Well, I also think it's a respect of nature as well. Mm-hmm. We need to be careful. And at nighttime, it says to carry a flashlight and wear shoes. Definitely wear shoes, because if you're in an area, even if you know the area, you don't know what's there. So just take precaution. And then the third point is to be bear aware. Okay, and I think there aren't that many wild bears roaming around where we're in Taipei City. But if your goal is to go hiking or fishing or camping, and you don't really want to be crossing a bear's path.
That's right. So I'm from Montana.
Mm-hmm.
And
bear country.
Bear country it is. And so everybody's very aware of bears there. All of the cautions that they give in this section, I'm very aware of. But of course, the worry is that somebody will come to Montana, and of course we want people to come and experience the beautiful nature that we have there, but maybe hasn't done their due diligence. They haven't looked into what are the potential dangers of that particular area you're coming to, and what do you do to keep yourself safe. So this is a nice little moment to help you become aware of that in case you come visit me in Montana or go anywhere else in the world where there are bears in the wilderness.
Well, you know, Yellowstone Park is the most famous park probably around the world, and you always hear of somebody getting hurt by a bear there, and basically it's because of the person. You know, oh, well, that bear looks friendly, I'll just take a picture with it, or I'll just roll down my window of my car, and, you know, it's a wild animal, so we need to be respectful.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, I love to go hiking. I did a lot of backpacking when I was in high school. I'm really grateful for that. But then again, like, each step you go further into entering into the wilderness and really doing that, the more careful you need to be, because the more you're going deeper and deeper into those animals' homes, right? So that's, I think, a lot of the tips here they give you for that. So, for example, they say when you're hiking, you should travel in groups of three or more. I think you can do it with two, but I guess it would depend on your experience level and who you're with. They say sing, tell stories, or carry a belt. Bears know you're in the area. So that's a really good starter one, especially if it's an area that's known for having a lot of bears. Just being noisy. You know, the classic noisy American can finally have it. Have something. Someone like me can really shine here. If you bring me along, the bears will know for miles away that there's somebody that they want to avoid.
They also are fairly shy. They very rarely do you have a bear like coming to attack you. It's usually if you startle them as well.
Right. Now, if you forget to bring a bell, for instance,
just take Pauline.
I've also heard you could bang two sticks together. Anything like that?
Maybe two pots.
I say, I don't know.
Something
that
even louder.
I mean, honestly, I think as long as it's more of that, like if you're talking and laughing and you're not whispering,
right. That's
probably going to be enough. I mean, humans, even ones not as loud as me, are pretty loud compared to the rest of nature. If you think of how quiet nature is, you know, maybe you hear something stomping through the still forest or some birds, but human voices are still pretty loud. So if you're telling stories and singing, you're good.
And hike during daylight hours. Again, stay on trails and avoid berry patches. That's my all-time favorite. Because it is true that bears do go to berry patches. So if you want not to encounter one, don't go there. And this we've always heard. When camping, be sure to hang your food and trash away from your sleeping area.
Mm-hmm.
And hang them over trees.
Especially if you're in a high bear area. I mean, I've gone camping in a lot of different areas in the United States and particularly in Montana. There's some areas where this is not an issue, or we just leave a lot of times we'll leave our food in the car, right? If we're just driving to a camping spot, and usually that's okay. But if you're doing backpacking into an area that's known for bears, then you have to have a plan for how you're going to store your food outside of your tent. And this is really, really important.
Right,
because
outside
people can
of your
think,
tent.
Like, oh, yeah, we've got all of our food stored outside of our tent, except for a couple granola bars in case I get hungry during the night or something. And that is where you can get yourself in trouble. So just a little reminder, if somehow you get an opportunity, which would be great, to go camping or backpacking in a mountain area with bears, don't have any snacks in your tent.
Right. Well, let's move on. We have two more points we're going to talk about. Let's listen to those right now.
Four, don't let lightning strike. Teach kids that when thunder roars, go indoors. Watch for darkening skies, flashes of lightning, and shifting and strengthening wind patterns. If you hear thunder, it is time to move to a sturdy building or hard-topped metal vehicle with windows closed. Avoid wires and metal fencing. Wait for 30 minutes after the last thunderclap to move outside. 5. Stay warm and dry. Whether you get caught in a downpour or lost on the trail, getting too cold and too wet is something to avoid. It's especially important to keep heads, hands, and feet covered. Remove wet clothing at the earliest opportunity. Shivering, the body's natural attempt to warm itself, is a first sign of hypothermia.
So don't let lightning strike. You know, when you hear thunder, you need to go inside. You need to tell your kids to go inside. And if you are in the Midwest area of the United States on vacation, you know, when you're looking at darkening skies and flashes of lightning, it says, you know, you need to be aware. If you hear thunder, then go to a sturdy building or an area. It says a hard top metal vehicle with windows closed, because the lightning will pass through it. It won't hit you. And I know we don't think, oh, no, I'll never get hit by lightning, but people do, so you need to be careful. And what are a couple of things you should avoid, Zach?
Well, you certainly want to avoid wires, metals. These are, you know,
conductors.
Exactly, for the lightning. So avoid those. I've heard that the part of the car thing is that there's rubber, the tires protects you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I thought this was interesting. Wait for 30 minutes after the last thunderclap. And thunderclap is just a more information word. It means that sound, the crash of thunder. The last one, wait 30 minutes until you go back outside, because you never know if lightning's going to follow how long afterward.
One last thing I would add to this is if you do start to hear thunder in the distance, and if you are at a river, if you're in a valley type area, before it comes anywhere near you, before the rain, you need to get out of that valley,
right,
out of the river, because it could start raining really hard way up ahead,
and flash
flooding.
Yes, yeah.
So that's another little point to keep in mind.
So be careful. And also along the same line, stay warm and dry. So if you're hiking and you get caught in a downpour, which means a lot of rain in a short period of time, or you get lost, be careful about getting too cold and too wet. You don't want to do that, because you will easily get hypothermia.
Right, and there's only so much you can do about it in the moment, right? So really, to me, this tip is more about preparing before you go on a hike when you're going outdoors. Make sure you bring a rain jacket. Make sure you have some rain gear.
Yep.
So that you don't get caught in a downpour and are suddenly soaking wet and you don't have anything to change into and you're in a dangerous situation.
That's right. Well, we invite you to review these yourself, and maybe you have some more. You could write to us and let us know on our Advanced Facebook page. We'd love to hear from you, and we hope to see you again tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about mosquitoes, everybody's favorite summer topic. See you then. Bye for now.
Bye. Bye.